Well, we're in Alaska, ladies and gentlemen, bounded by Canada on one side and Anchorage on the other. So, what do you know? Hi, Michael Feldman here with the latest edition in our Funny You Don't Look 30 anniversary series from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. The note that I received from Jeff Apple Benowitz implied that marrying Anna Lindjedal on our Fairbanks show was his last and best shot at getting tickets. The backstory here is that anybody, even a quiz show host, can marry you in Alaska if a local judge signs off on it. It's as done a deal as anything catered and officiated. Sensing a new what-do-you-know revenue stream, that is to say, believing as I do in the holy bonds, I rushed out to the chuppah shop in Fort Yukon for a marriage canopy for his side of the equation and a moose head for hers. She's Swedish, so as close as I could get to a reindeer. John, Jeff, and Clyde boned up on the overture to marriage of Funky Figaro, and I lightened up the ceremonial falderal provided by the frozen chosen of Fairbanks, and off we went. As far as I know, it was legal and still is. Anna was beautiful, Jeff was Benowitz. It all proved to all in attendance that true love is lurking in them there ice caves. From July 7th, 2006, what do you know, Fairbanks. Thank you. And I'm staying until I qualify for the permanent fund. Just got to make it till October, right? They cut the checks in October, I think. So. Then I want to qualify for dip netting. You know, that sounds like my kind of sport. I mean, how hard can that be? You stick a net in the water, and you pull out locks. That's where locks comes from. I had no idea.
I didn't either.
From dip netting. The permanent fund, you get paid just to be yourself. What a wonderful thing. Only in Alaska. It's a wonderful idea. You deserve it. And if you live, you get the longevity bonus. So it's just this is a perfect thing. No, you don't. No. Not anymore, huh? Okay. All right. Well, so don't blame me. You take it out on me. Alaska, because it's not welfare if it comes from the oil companies. It's not like it's a government handout or something, you know what I'm saying. That's a good thing, man. So possibly I could be grandfathered into a nice little homestead, you know, that's a possibility. Maybe a few acres around chicken, I'm thinking. Grow some giant cabbages, those huge things size of medicine balls. Two will last you the whole winter. Do a little subsistence hunting, a little bypass mailing, snow machining. Dip netting. I'm starting to get into this whole thing, actually. Alaska, what's not to like? You're with people who want to be among people who don't want to be among people. What a sense of community that builds. But that's when you can really appreciate people.
That's
when
right.
You don't want to be around them. Then you look at them and see one once in a while. Well, okay, it's not so bad, really. It's outrageously beautiful, vast, unbelievable. When you fly into Alaska, you come up and see it. It's just unbelievably gorgeous. And they pay you to live here, so, you know, what's not to like? And they throw in a quarter pound of pot. You know, it's just like it's heaven on earth here, really. All the locks you can eat, a Super Cub with a snow machine, a cooler wrapped in duct tape, a bear bag, a pair of bunny boots. It's just when this is the welcoming package that's you get when you come. You know, a bike that's greased and guaranteed to 60 below, you know, because people ride their bikes all winter.
All seasons.
Yes, all winter. Pair of car butts. Good dip net with a crutch on the end. I've been told that's the way to do it. You fasten a crutch to the end of it. That's what Dick does, Flaherty. Puts a crutch on his dip net. Now, there's something you don't hear every day. You got
no.
A crutch on your dip net. And your choice of firearms, of course. So it's really kind of heaven on earth. No dress code. Everyone just dresses like a lesbian, basically. takes the pressure off of you. You always know how to dress, you know. All you really have to provide is the Phantom Pro Series WK340 digital moose collar. This is the best one because I did some research on this, and this one is totally digital, and it can actually do a bull in rut and a cow in estrus in stereo. So you get the... You almost don't need to see the animals at all when that happens. It's like mating in your head at that point. The big question, of course, is when the moose arrives, how he will deal with the sexual frustration that he's going to feel at that point. And it wouldn't be the first time I've been stomped in similar circumstances. But you just get behind him, Jim. That's what I learned.
Give him a push?
Yeah. They can't kick you in from behind.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. You just excuse yourself and you climb behind
it. Walk away.
Climb behind it, yeah. I still don't yet have all the requisite Alaska coping skills, but I could learn. You know, you wear another layer of neoprene. You use road flares to start a fire. You line the outhouse seat in styrofoam. Well, that's a good tip. Okay, I got one. That means I got one. Because sticking your tongue to a flagpole is one thing. This is something else, yeah. Use your trunk for a freezer. We do that in Wisconsin a good part of the year. Ice caving. Now, there's something I wouldn't have thought of myself, but still, might try it, you know. Running a trap line, flying my Super Cub to my cabin at Lake Michumina. Sounds like a Jewish lake to me. Michumina. Oh, yeah, it's a Michumina. Maybe I'll work in the bush, actually, with Jewish youth who feel isolated. And actually, there were quite a few Jewish prospectors in the famous Goldstein Rush of 1902. But, you know, you would think, though, if they can build a pipeline, an oil pipeline, 800 miles across Alaska, they could build one 8 miles from Fox Spring to bring in some water, you know. So I've been looking around. I haven't been here in just a couple of days, but I figure a little starter cabin. Best of both worlds, a cabin in the city. I think nowhere else do you see this, where you can have a cabin with no electricity, right. No plumbing, in the city, you know. It's a wonderful idea, and I've been looking at some here. There's a 16 by 20 on Miller Hill with loft, good access, 400. Pets okay. Miller Hill, how is that? Okay. I'll call that one. Big, private, quiet, no water, near UAF, no smoking, pets okay. Okay, that's around here then, at the university. Clean farmer's loop. Okay, here's one. Septic, but no water. And no pets. Nice cabin near Esther, riverfront cabin, furnished one-room bathroom close to mall. Isn't it ideal having a cabin next to the mall?
That's right.
Here's one behind Ivory Jack's. I don't know about that. A lot of traffic. But I'm saying there's going to be a lot of foot traffic and everything. Okay. Well, here's the thing that Jim found, too, actually. 2002, Honda Rubicon has wench. So I'll work this out. In the Alaska news, a black bear apparently tired of dumping in the woods, shot dead in an Anchorage bathroom. Bear had history of troublemaking, the headline ran. I like that. He would not use the same towel twice, is what I mean. Oil companies appeal the $3.64 billion pipeline assessment. They say what with wear and tear, they could only get $100,000 or $200,000 for it. Tops today. A quasi-religious group called Alaska's Future says that if the oil tax is increased, it will open the seventh seal leading to the apocalypse. And the final confrontation between the forces of good and evil. They didn't say which side they were on. I have no idea. Or who sponsored it. The Stranded Gas Act is being rewritten to refer to what you will be when it hits $5 a gallon, I think. Natural gas pipeline from Dick Cheney proposed. It'll be piped in from an undisclosed location.
Yeah.
Fort Greeley to launch a preemptive strike against North Korea. Since it's a heck of a lot easier than trying to shoot them out of the air, you know, that's just about ridiculous. Fortunately, theirs blow up on their own, so that's really not a problem. Officials at the base became alarmed when the North Koreans announced their new class of long-range missiles was known as the Murkowski Dong. It is an alarming name.
It's very good.
Yeah, it is. Well, thank you. Just let me know what you like and what you don't like. That's fine. In the latest twist in the Bridges to Nowhere controversy, the Colossus of Ted Stevens will be built. With one foot in Ketchikan and the other on Gravina Island. This will be the biggest Ted Stevens yet, so it's going to be quite a sight to see. Be a major tourist destination, and the wife's holdings will not do badly, so it's a win-win. Then if they work it right, they can actually make it a tripod and have a third leg resting on a net there. Island. In still other news, a hacker taps in the University of Alaska Fairbanks database, steals 39,000 identities. Now every day is case day for somebody. Case day is when you have to drink a case of beer, right? It's required. It's a graduation requirement,
wow.
I think. We don't require it at Wisconsin. They do it on their own, you know. But. So, yeah, identity theft. How about that? 4 years undergrad without plumbing or electricity for someone else to live the life of Riley in the Bahamas, ladies and gentlemen. What a horrible thing. And still the news, increase in bear sightings around Fairbanks. The city advises residents not to scat. But it may be unavoidable, is what I'm thinking. Hoist yourself in a bear bag if possible. Do not seek refuge in a dumpster. That's probably the last thing you want to do. Because Dick Flaherty's already got the good stuff out of it anyway. So. Why is all that good stuff in a dumpster? We were over there and he showed us all this great stuff that he found in a dumpster. Someone is throwing out really great stuff. I mean, he had like this French phone system from the turn of the century. I don't know, who would throw out a French phone system from the turn of the century in a dumpster? Who's throwing out the good stuff is what we got to find out and just go right to the source. Let's see, what was I saying? Okay, no. Polar bear cannibalism endangers Coke commercials. Alaskans theoretically only have until Saturday to get high. The good news is that the regulation expires at sundown, so. Alaska Airlines has revamped its safety guidelines now, requires baggage cart drivers to report gashes they make along jets before heading for a smoke outside the carousel. The Lufthansa stop has been eliminated in Fairbanks. Now you have to go to Kazakhstan to catch your plane, so that's a little inconvenient. And the reports say that Alaskans each received $984.85 worth of pork in 2005, payable by check in October. So look for that. That should be coming. Signed by Ted Stevens. The value of Fort Knox slides, making the answer to the question, what do I look like, Fort Knox? Quite possibly, yes. And the UAF, University of Alaska at Fairbanks, where we are on their beautiful campus, but the UAF part has been a problem all these years. They're tired of being mistaken for the United Arab Emirates. Now it just calls itself Alaska, as it should. So Anchorage, eat your heart out. That's all the news that is, and thank you so much. Well, Terrence Cole has a book called The Crooked Past, The History of a Frontier Mining Camp, Fairbanks, Alaska. Kind of, he's the history guy here at the university. And I think he's with us, isn't he? There he is. Oh, that's him over there. Okay. Terrence Cole. Ladies and gentlemen, you know him. How are you? See you. You know, you look nothing like your brother. I'm struck by how unlike him you are.
I'm a lot younger than he is.
Yeah. Well, how many seconds was it?
Well, about 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
But okay. The worst thing, you know, at the airport here, one day I said, you know, because I'm always mistaken for my brother, and they said, are you Dermot? I said, no, I'm not Dermot, I'm Terrence. She said, are you his dad? I said, no, I'm not his dad.
Yeah. They're twins, if you don't know. Dermot writes for the newspaper here, the Miner. And you're the history guy. Which one of you is actually the smarter of the two, would you say?
Well, I'm smarter, yeah.
Okay. Because you're an actual certified historian.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He's kind of a phony, but...
Okay.
Because his books sell more, you know?
They do, because
he doesn't have any footnotes. What the hell?
Yeah. What the heck?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's okay. It's only $350,000. You pay it.
Well, the chancellor told me not to embarrass us, so
I'm
just doing my job.
Yeah, there are footnotes here.
There are.
Ibid,
yeah.
Ibid, Ibid, Ibid. This is how I did my footnotes, too, pretty much. Ibid, Ibid, more Ibids.
Ibid. Latin, you know.
Yeah. Ibid was a very good source, I found. You know, as we travel and we do our shows and you go to different places all over the country, really, and most places you go to were founded on some kind of a land swindle and fraud. Are you implying that is true of Fairbanks, Alaska?
A little bit. You know, Dermot said, I must admit, he's got a better line on this in one of his books. He said, you know, Fairbanks was founded on two things, high expectations and low water.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of been the story of the town ever since, you know. I mean, it's high expectations and maybe they don't quite work out. But yeah, this guy, E.T. Barnett, you know, for whom the crookedest street in town is named, is an old-timer here. Fabian Carey once said that was only worthwhile because this guy was a crook from, you know, after all, he'd been banished from the state of Oregon.
Before he got here?
Yeah. Which is an unusual punishment,
what was that,
you know.
What was that little incident?
Fraud.
Oh, yeah. Go figure.
Yeah. So the whole punishment was he couldn't go back there. So
he went to Alaska?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So and he had this, he was on a riverboat trying to navigate a river that couldn't be navigated.
That's right. Yeah, man, there's really only five things, it's always seemed to me, I guess my head's a little too big for this.
Okay.
I haven't been...
We can fix that.
I bet. But there's only five things, Michael, wrong with Fairbanks, you know. It was founded in the wrong place, at the wrong time, by the wrong person, on the wrong side of the wrong river.
Yeah.
And other than that, it's perfect.
Oh.
And I think that in this case, anyway, this was definitely the wrong guy, and he ended up in the wrong place. But but it turned out for the community, you know, this town...
Why is it on the wrong side of the river?
Because it's in the middle of the Tanana River, really, is where they
found it. Oh, it is.
Yeah,
that's
so they had to build a bridge every dang year, and what used to be the Tanana River. It's not really anymore. Mm-hmm. But... it's been flooded out, you know, every few years until a big construction, you know, diversion dam was put in back in the 70s after the really big flood here in 67. But you know, I think the best way of describing Fairbanks, I always heard the Coen brothers one time said that Fargo was Siberia with family restaurants. and Fairbanks is kind of Siberia with family restaurants and box stores and a bowling alley. So the next time you go to Fargo, just look and see.
Yeah, well, or the Big Lebowski covers it pretty well.
That's right. Yeah. The dude would enjoy living here. He's probably one of our students, actually.
You know? Yeah. The dude. Why don't you just take him off? You don't really don't need him.
I
driving
can't.
Me crazy fiddling with you.
I can't hear you.
What?
Okay, is that all right?
Yeah. Can you hear me
good.
Now?
Oh, it's a lot better. Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
No.
I'll try and telegraph all my punches.
Oh, okay, good,
But I'll just go back to the original founding fraud.
Oh, yeah. E.T. Barnett. His name was, I was just going to say Ebenezer. No, it's not Ebenezer. Elbridge T. Barnett.
Okay.
And, when he got here, you know, basically no one really knew where he came from.
Did he have a twin by any chance?
No, he didn't have a twin. No, that's right. But I'll tell you, he had a lot of friends, and the judge here, Judge Wickersham, for whom we have a dormitory named on campus, he convinced him to name the town after Fairbanks. Charles Warren Fairbanks, who was a really undistinguished senator
from Indiana.
Indiana. And became vice president with Teddy Roosevelt. And his big claim to fame was that Teddy Roosevelt sued him while he was president.
He sued his own vice president?
Yeah. Didn't get along too well.
It was
some kind of fraud deal, you know, that he accused him.
There seems to be a pattern here. I don't know. Am I wrong in assuming?
But the thing is, you know... Maybe a little bit. Fairbanks never came here, though oftentimes our city council... My other brother is here. My brother Pat's here in the audience.
Is he a twin, too?
Well,
Oh, you got gen.
Well,
you can't
have three. Yeah.
You were in triplets.
That's right, yeah. Okay, the three of us are twins.
Yeah.
I never was good at math, though, you know, yeah. So. But the thing is, the way it works in this town is that the three of us are here, and, you know, and most people are mad at Dermot. Actually, most people are mad at Pat, actually, because he works for the city, and then Dermot, and then me. Mm-hmm. So actually, fewer people are mad at me than them.
Yeah.
The problem is when there's an alignment of the stars and the people who are mad at all three of us come together, that's nasty.
But to get back to the original...
Oh, okay, here we go. Charles Fairbanks, yeah. And there is
there's definitely a
theme here. Yeah, yeah. E.T. Barnett, you know, because he, you know, he essentially rigged the election to become mayor. First mayor in 1903,
yeah.
You know, he ran the first bank, essentially what became a bank, and eventually the bank went broke, and he didn't, you know, really. Sort of how to summarize it. So he went to Mexico, Yeah, that went okay. He was convicted of not embezzlement. He got off on embezzlement, which is very difficult to prove, but he convicted of sort of lying to a grand jury, mm-hmm. which didn't seem to be He didn't think that was that big a lie.
Yeah.
And so he was convicted of that. And eventually, ended up in Mexico, ended up in California. He died in California about 1931 or 32 from falling down a flight of stairs and breaking his neck.
Oh.
But there's no evidence for sure if he was pushed, you know. So, but he did. Okay. But there is kind of Fairbanks has always been a place where people sort of invent themselves, where it's kind of the...
And reinvent.
And reinvent, yeah. And reinvent. Yeah, exactly.
And yet they stay the same.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
for him, anyway.
For Barnett? Well, yeah, that's right. You know, he's really responsible for, in a way, the town, like I said, being founded in the wrong place, but it was that insistence, that this was going to be the town, which is really rather remarkable, you know, because human life is never run by rational rules, and Fairbanks is a great example of that.
You really? You believe that, huh? So are you an anarchist?
No. No, I'm not an anarchist. No.
Yeah. You don't.
I'm an Alaskan. Alaskan. That's right.
And there is a certain amount of anarchism in that, isn't there?
There is. And, I mean, Fairbanks was the home of the Alaska Independence Party, mm-hmm. and Joe Vogler, who was here for a long time, was a real local character. And,
yeah.
You know, and he always, you know, he was a guy who sort of refused to, you know, recognize, you know, he thought Alaska should take its case to the UN. Always seemed like a good idea to him, you know.
Yeah, so, it is a good idea.
Yeah. Didn't really work out.
You can nationalize the oil fields. That'd be the best outcome of that.
What's that?
If you own the state was an independent country, you could nationalize the oil fields.
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting you do this. I'm not leading a rally here. Let's not burn torches in the capital.
But anyway, so the history, that does sort of flow from it. It really does, Michael. That's been, but it's really one of the great things about exploring the history of Fairbanks, you know, because there's a lot of characters. You know.
Yeah, and Alaska in general, for that matter. But that book that you recommended that we got, the one about from the 1930s, the guy who went and studied this mining town. What's that guy's name?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. What is it?
Oh, Bob Marshall.
Bob Marshall.
Yeah.
Arctic
Village.
You know what I'm talking
about? Okay, yeah. I remember
that's
that
a fascinating book.
It's a wonderful book. It's one of the great books, yeah.
Yeah.
Arctic Village is republished by the University of Alaska Press.
Yeah, you wrote the foreword to it.
I wrote the foreword, yeah.
You didn't read it, though, apparently.
It was for a test, you know.
Yeah. Because it was so interesting.
It's a great book.
It deals with the native peoples well, but the people who came here and sort of their motives for coming here and the personality that was attracted to coming to Alaska, sort of to make their fortune, but they stayed when they didn't make their fortune, which
it's a great book. I think it's one of the great books about Alaska. Rockwell Kent, like I quoted him in that introduction, he said it's one of the great books about America because Marshall was such what a great character, you know. He was a counter, you know, and he counted everything, including his friends. So he has a list that he actually made of his favorite 78 white people in Weisman, numbers 1 through 78. And I always thought, you know, number 1 is easy and number 78 is easy, but what about number 35 and 36? You know?
Yeah.
But he also came up with one of the great correlations. He correlated, you know, he did correlations between, since he was a forester, like our chancellor, you know, he liked to count things and make unusual comparisons. So he put together rainfall and presidential elections. But even more interesting than that for Alaska was he put together gold production and number of prostitutes.
Ah.
And it's actually quoted by virtually every single history written about Alaska since then that he showed that as the level of gold production declined, so did the number of prostitutes. Now, this may not have been surprising.
No, it's not surprising.
But anyway, he did do it. But it's a terrific book about Wiseman, Alaska. It's called Arctic Village. There is a town in Alaska called Arctic Village, but this is actually about Wiseman, which is on the Hall Road now. Really, not much left of it except that book.
So,
it's a great book.
And one of the things he did in there, it's really fascinating, really, is that he's recorded conversations. He's a sociologist, I guess, in that sense. And that was the most amazing, just what these guys were talking about.
Yeah.
And these guys, a lot of these guys had very, very almost radical liberal views about unionizing and about the government and about what's happening, what the corporations are doing to the little guy and all that
stuff. There's a guy he took lists of, he secretly made notes of the conversations, and he tabulated more than 5,000 minutes of conversation. And he found, I think, the most popular thing was gossip, believe it or not. One of the least popular was sports, but he did science and politics. There was a guy who got Pravda. There was one communist, you know. I don't know how, maybe he wasn't a member of the IWW, but, you know, he was, they were determined and they believed. And it was, it's a fantastic book, though. You're right. Yeah. There actually still are a couple of, none of those folks in that book are alive, but there are a few descendants of several of the people around Alaska still today.
Yeah.
And some of them were still sore for years that he never told them, of course, he was writing a book.
Oh.
So he took the notes secretly, and many of them, the first thing they knew about the book was when it came out. But he sent them all $15, which was their share of the profits.
Right.
You know, he split the profits. But one of his best friends said, you know, he went around town, and I know this is radio, so you can't see it, but anyway, he's holding up a book, and the guy was, and they were gesturing to each other, pointing at the other, pointing also at the book, one of the book and one of the others. They were so mad at what the other person had said about each other, you know. So, but it's, as he said, you know, they were all caught in the same stew. This is what this other guy said. Mm. So they can't really complain because everybody said something bad about everybody else. So,
yeah.
Which he quoted, you know.
He recorded their sex lives, or at least what they bragged were there. It's hard to believe that these 12 guys living together really had much of a sex life.
That's right. That's right.
Possibly they did, you know.
That's right, Hey, this is Alaska after all.
But there was one guy in particular, right? He wrote down all his, he told him about all his exploits or whatever, and he put that in the book.
Yeah, and he came up to, he wrote Bob afterwards, and he said, Bob, when I was telling you I slept with more women than anybody in Alaska, I wasn't kidding, but I'm telling you it's true. He didn't want it in the book.
So he was worried about going back, I think.
What's that?
He was worried about going back at a certain point.
Marshall was. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He was worried about getting lynched, and he did. He wasn't. You know, they actually welcomed him back, and so it's really a wonderful story some years later. He died at age, like, 38 or 39, and people know most today Bob Marshall as a conservationist and wilderness advocate. Mm-hmm. The Bob Marshall Wilderness in Montana is named for him. But I think his greatest literary work is actually this book. I mean, it's such a wonderful, and it really is the book that I give to people when to explain about why people come to Alaska and what they find so attractive about it. Because he says people would rather eat their eat their bacon and off of a little tin plate and enjoy the freedom and luxury of being in Alaska that you can't get outside. I think a lot of people still believe that. So yeah.
That's what I was going to ask you, actually, but you already answered the question. But you're in history. You don't care about the present, do you?
No, I don't care.
No.
Yeah.
In the future, you will, but right now, you could care less.
Oh, that's just right now. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's sort of interesting, too, because you had the gold rush in that period, and then the pipeline rush, and it brought up a whole other cast of characters, people who came here trying to make some money, basically. Some stayed, some left, but that's another interesting influx of people, and historically, sort of what that did to Alaska and what occurred.
Well, constantly, you know, these waves of folks coming in, it's really reinvigorates, and it really is one of the things I think that makes Alaska kind of great. You know, there's a lot of people around here. One of the old gags about being a sourdough was, you know, sour on the country and no dough to leave. You know, mm-hmm. that was the
right.
that thing. But there's a lot of people who are pretty sour, you know, that one encounters in life. But one of the great things about Alaska is that you always have new people come in fresh in off the boat, or nowadays fresh off the plane, with such enthusiasm and joy for the place. And we see that every year here at the university. Mm-hmm. I mean, we could draw students from all across the United States, and many of them end up staying in Alaska. Because this really isn't a place for everyone, you know. Mm-hmm. One early guy once said that the University of Alaska, like Fairbanks, he said, you know, at the University of Alaska, you don't meet the 9 out of 10 people you see on the street. You see number 10. Mm-hmm. And that's really the case. Look at these people out here. They look normal to you in this audience. I don't know.
I can't tell. The light's in my eyes. But they...
But it's not, yeah. So it really is reinvigorating and just kind of a wonderful, you know, because the pot is constantly being mixed and stirred, I think.
Yeah.
Well.
At least until Saturday it is.
But. I don't know what they're clapping about. You know. I don't know if you, your news about Alaska is so great, and particularly even, you know, the mention of Governor Murkowski. I don't know if you know, but he has recently admitted that he may have to go a personality transplant.
You know, I was reading Lisa's, her bio or something that she ran on, and it mentioned her history and what she'd done before this and all this and things she belonged to and stuff. Didn't mention who her parents were. Thought, well, where did she come from, this Murkowski?
Yeah. That's kind of deal is that, yeah. But, I mean, Frank, he has said he might need a personality transplant, so I'm just wondering, you know, I'm not sure how many of those have been done, you know, but...
Yeah.
But no, we really... you'll find people in Alaska, of course, are so... incredibly passionate about it. You know, very few people are neutral about it. They either passionately love it or passionately hate it, you know. Mm-hmm. Fewer the less, because they go, you know, they don't stick around.
Were you born out here?
Oh, no. No. I was born in Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah. But I came up here actually originally with
my... Where was your brother born?
Yeah, he was...
Was he born around here?
I'm not sure. The only thing is, I always point out to him, I'm the one who made him a winner. Because, you know, when we were kids, we were the Westinghouse twins, because we were twins. And our parents won a Westinghouse twins washer and dryer for us. So I'm kind of the guy who made him a winner. Otherwise, he'd just be another kid, you know. But
yeah.
When I came out...
And your mother got the washer and dryer.
Yeah, so that's right. We got a washer and dryer. Yeah. But it was a win-win. Yeah, right. But my brother, Pat, who's here, the reason I came out to Alaska was because of him. He was at Temple University, and Pat's not a man who's loose with money, you know. He has about $3. Very tight, yeah. But anyway, so he was mugged for all of his worldly wealth in Philadelphia. This was in 1970 when I was 16. And so he woke up in the hospital several days later and decided he had to go somewhere new, you know. No more Temple University in downtown Philly for him. So this is the story he tells, and he says it's true. Anyway, he goes to the library, and the college catalogs are all in alphabetical order. And he rules out Alabama, which is why we ended up here. So
there you have it.
Yeah. So anyway, I think as a place that in some ways Alaska is even more special to the people who aren't born here. Though, of course, there's a significant number of people who have, especially of the Alaska Native students, and we have many here at the university, close to 20% of the student body, who have, you know, lived here their whole lives and cherish it and relish it in many ways. But there's all kinds of different ways to love it, and you can learn a lot about it, and even just sometimes in a short time, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but I must say, your visit here, what do you know, this is one of the cultural highlights in the history of Fairbanks.
Wow. Oh, go on with you.
No, I mean, it is, because now I must say it was some years ago. Garrison came, but he was companionless. There was no companion with him. It was just him, I think. You know, I don't know why. And they didn't ask him back. But I'm sure.
He didn't have a companion? Did you hear that I had a companion?
No. No.
That was just.
Very own companion. I was making a joke.
That was Chuck. He was just driving. Chuck. He drives a limo.
Oh, he's dressed like a lesbian. I know that. Yeah. I heard that joke. I heard that.
Well, Terrence's book is Crooked Past. His brother's got a pretty good book, too, on the history of Fairbanks. You might want to pick that up. And actually, you can go online and get a reading list from you probably, too, right?
Yeah.
to read about Alaska, actually, Alaska history.
Sure, yeah. So, my brother has written Dermot. We have to say something about Dermot's book just for a second because he's not here.
Okay.
Dermot.
Okay, great book.
He's a great guy.
Terrence Cole, ladies and gentlemen. Terrence Cole. And we got our band with us here. We always travel with a band, ladies and gentlemen. It's always the same band, as a matter of fact. John, Jeff, and Clyde. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you work out a little something here?
Yeah.
Because you guys are playing like dynamite in the warm-up here.
Oh, thank you.
You didn't get it out of your system, I hope.
I hope not. A little peak too early.
Yeah, what's this little number going to be?
Una copa más.
Una copa más. Say, here's another Alaska tip for you. Never approach a moose from behind or any other direction. What do you know? Fairbanks continues.
I'll be back later in the show. We got Annette Freiberger is here. And she wants to know if I know how to ooga ooga mooshka. Is that right?
Yeah.
I don't know if I do or not.
That's from that song, Squaws Along the Yukon.
Squaws Along the Yukon?
Yeah.
And they do the ooga ooga mooshka?
That's right. Yeah.
What's involved in that? Maybe I've done it.
Well, that's why all the pioneers kept coming back and they stayed. Oh.
I was set up on this one pretty bad, and I don't want to thank you. What do you do here?
I work in the rural college in the university. I'm a coordinator.
You ooga ooga mooshka?
Sometimes.
Well, would you call me while I'm here at least?
Well, sure, anytime.
For a short time. Yeah. Very nice to meet you. Thank you. That's Annette Freiberger. And then there's Bill Kulash. Bill Kulash is ready to get you stand up, Bill. How you doing? Is this true you once wrapped your house in copper wire to listen to the show?
That's correct. it's not.
Why do I believe you?
Well, we lived in a small cabin. In fact, Vlesta Fusco, I saw her at her place in Chattanooga. The radio reception was horrible. I wanted to listen to the show. We had propane lights with propane copper tubing, so I had a bunch of wire, wrapped it up, trying to improve the reception. Yeah. Didn't work.
Did you find it hard to leave the house with copper wire wrapped around the doors and windows?
I think the wife was thinking I needed to get out of the house at that point, yeah.
Have you solved your reception problem since then?
Yes, we moved closer to town.
Okay. And you're a geologist?
Yes, sir.
What sort of geology do you do?
Exploration, mineral exploration, gold.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Can we talk a little more about that?
We certainly can.
Okay, very nice to meet you. Bill Kulash, ladies and gentlemen, who wrapped this house in copper wire. And it still didn't work. What happens when you throw a cup of water into the air at minus 40 degrees? Rosemary Hansen knows. Have you done this, Rosemary? Okay, this is cool. Come on down here. Let's find out. This is the kind of thing you can't do everywhere. We maybe have hit minus 40, have we, in Wisconsin, Jim?
Not lately.
Not lately, no. How are you?
Good.
What field are you in?
I'm a student at Lathrop High School.
Lathrop High School. The Fighting...
Malamutes.
The Fighting Malamutes.
It's a husky dog.
I know what a Malamute is. And you have done this? You went out and threw a cup of water in the air at minus 40 degrees. What happened?
My brother and I experimented with this winter, actually. We found that it turns into a mist, like a vapor, that you probably don't want to be under and don't want to touch.
Yeah. That's like that caribou mist they talk about, the caribou the caribou fog.
Maybe.
Throw a caribou in the air next time at minus 40 degrees and see what you get.
That can be our next experiment.
Okay, that's cool. Thank you very much, Rosemary.
Thank you.
She's very sweet, and she's cool, and she throws water in the air, very cold temperatures. And then there's Lloyd Husky. Speaking of huskies, in case you were, state fair manager, huh? You down there? Okay, don't get up. That's all right. Don't bother to get up. Yeah, I know. We can't be in front of the speakers. Come on over here, if you will. You're the state fair manager?
Yeah, that's correct.
I'm good. How are you?
When is the state fair?
It's August 4th through the 12th.
Yeah. We got headlining this year.
We got Daryl Worley on Tuesday night, and it's our 75th fair, so we have it's Diamonds Are Forever. I have a pin for you.
Okay.
And we have a Neil Diamond tribute band on Wednesday night. So.
Neil Diamond tribute band. All right. That'd be worth seeing, I think. And what is your question for me, Lauren?
Oh, it's what's your favorite food to eat at the state fair?
Well, I'm favoring the deep-fried Snickers. Do you have that?
Yeah, Snickers and Twinkies. They're experimenting with pickles, I think, this year.
Oh yeah, that might work. Well, you know, Elvis used to do that. Over where he lived in Memphis, they would deep-fry pickles, pickle slices.
I believe it. He ate peanut butter and banana sandwiches. So.
And potato chip sandwiches. So these are all things you should consider for the state fair.
Well, yeah, we do need new food booths, so that'd be a good idea.
Nice talking with you,
Lloyd. Thank you very much.
That's Lloyd from the state fair. They can deep fry anything nowadays. It's a wonderful thing. And we're going to play the What Do You Know quiz because I know that's what a lot of you came here for, if there was a reason. Many of you probably came with no reason in mind whatsoever. What? Well, first we've got to have the four disclaimers, but thank you for your help. When we need a floor manager, we'll call you. This would be very good as a floor manager. You are?
My name is Christy.
Christy, have you worked on this? You feel good about it?
I do.
With the four disclaimers, here is Christy.
All questions used on What Do You Know have been...
You have this memorized, Christy.
I think I do. All questions used on What Do You Know have been well-reasoned, or have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Now, the second one I'm supposed to read just the way you wrote it?
Yeah.
I was wondering if I could get an advance on my PDF.
What did I do wrong?
It's PFD.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Persons employed by...
I'm dyslexic. What do you want from me? I'm more to be pitied than censured.
I don't hold it against you. Persons employed by the International House of Radio are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones, trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. All opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Memory! Fabulous! Thank you, dear. That's the first time that's been done. Christy! Now, you probably know the rest of the show, so why don't you recite that, and then we can get out of here early, really. That'd be good. That's absolutely amazing. Let's see the hands of those who want to try the math quiz. Chance to win fabulous prizes simply for being as fabulous as you are. In fact, knowing what you do know and the fact that you've, you know, you've worked in all these. This guy right here with the beard, the bearded gentleman who's dressed like a lesbian. Would you come over here, please? Come this way, if you would, because I'm over here. Okay. Very nice to see you. How you doing?
Good. You are? Sean Wiegand.
Sean, you from around here?
I am. Yeah.
School now, or?
I work here.
Where do you work at?
SBS Financial Group.
Oh, okay. What do you do for them?
Financial advisor.
Okay. Are you making good money there yourself, or, I mean, how's your financial life?
We're doing all right. Yeah.
Sean, give me one good reason why you should play this quiz.
Because my wife is from Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, and she said I better get on here or else.
All right, she's from Wauwatosa. What a good reason. Come on down here, Sean. Join us. For a Fairbanks version of the What Do You Know quiz, number one. Have a seat there if you would, Sean. Where are those
if you want, but they didn't fit Terrence. So you never know what's going to happen with those. So how does a guy from Alaska meet a girl from Wauwatosa?
We actually met in a gay bar in Seattle.
Okay.
It's a good place to dance.
You'd be surprised how many couples meet in gay bars in Seattle. Well, that's a cool thing. At the time, did you know that was there a chord struck between you?
She right off the bat? Picked me up just like that.
She did, really? Yeah. Oh, okay. Pretty good. And you went with her, so she knew it was cool.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's a wonderful story, actually. I wish we had more time to talk about how the dating went and how you worked through some of that stuff. But and then she, a gay bar in where? In Seattle.
In Seattle.
Okay. But are you from up here?
I'm from here. I was down there for a year working.
Down there for a year working in financial things? You always been financial?
Yeah.
Cool. Did you go to school here?
Yes, I did.
You did? In business school?
Yes, I did.
Okay, cool. Did you live in a cabin without heat or light? Or?
I lived out in Mountain Village for like about a year of my life.
Yeah.
My parents moved up from Montana and taught out in the bush.
Oh, they did. Oh, yeah. Cool. Okay. And then she was just in Wauwatosa, I mean in Seattle visiting from Wauwatosa?
She is a pharmacist and she was doing a residency there.
Okay. And then when you guys got serious, was she open to coming to
Alaska?
Actually,
when we started getting serious, I moved back up here and she followed.
She did. She didn't feel like doing the gay bar circuit anymore.
No, probably. She said she was done.
That's not going to work more than once,
yeah,
probably.
She said she was done with them.
Okay. Well, that's a good thing. Well, I'm glad. Where is she?
Right. Everybody's pointing at her.
Okay. Okay. There she is. Hi, dear. How are you? Nice to see you. Okay, we're going to play the quiz here. You know how this works, Sean?
Yep.
Okay. It's a general knowledge quiz. It's not trivia. It's my life. We have... Jim, is there a number to call?
There is a number to call, and that's 800-474-5822. 800-474-5822. Otherwise, an easy way to remember that would be iPie5Taco.
You've outdone yourself this time, Jim. People are calling in right now trying to do iPie5Taco. Yes. If you can complete this simple sentence, if you can't take a joke, don't move to what? If you can't take a joke, don't move to blank. If you don't give us a call, here's Cheryl calling from Healy. Hi, Cheryl. Hi, Cheryl. How are you?
I'm good.
Oh, good. I'm good, Cheryl.
You remember me, Michael?
You from the highway?
I am. I'm your highway lady.
We were driving up to Denali, and the person with the sign, the stop sign, the paddle... Right?
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah. She stopped us, and she said, are you the Feldman guy? And I admitted it, and she said, well, you know, I listen to your show because it's on right before the folk sampler. And that was Cheryl. On the highway. Is that accurate, Cheryl?
Boy, is that accurate. But remember, I also said that we really enjoy the music, so we always keep it on for the music.
Yeah. Right. I know there were two insulting things you said. I couldn't remember the second one. And then you told an Ole and Lena joke, and you finally let us go down the highway, which is a pleasant thing.
Yeah, how was your time in Denali? Did you have a good time?
Very nice, very nice. We saw some animals mating, but I'm not sure what they were.
Good.
They may have been hikers, for all I know. It was a long way away, and I didn't have binoculars. So. Cheryl, complete the sentence. If you can't take a joke, don't move to blank.
Well, all I could come up with is chicken, because I've got 5 chickens out here.
not a good rhyme, though, Cheryl.
Is it supposed to rhyme?
I think so, yes.
If you can't move too fast, don't...
Okay. Don't go down your highway, because it's...
Yeah, don't move to Toke. That's what it is.
Oh, Cheryl... She got it, Jim. What can I tell you? All right, Cheryl, we're going to let you buy on that. All right.
I love this game, Michael.
Yeah, you're doing great so far. Cheryl, this is Sean.
Hi, Sean.
Hi, Cheryl.
He's your partner now, so you work together, okay?
Okay, where are you from again, Sean?
Fairbanks.
Oh, you're in Fairbanks. Okay, great. I won't hold that against you.
Okay. Thank you.
The two of you collaborate, then here are the categories that we have, Jim.
Those categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science or odds and ends.
And you have that memorized. Isn't that amazing? Cheryl, you pick the first category.
Oh, let's go current events. What do you say, Sean?
Let's do it.
Current events. Okay. Out of the Alaska birth rate of 17 per 1,000, how many were for the PFD check? Oh, it's multiple chance.
Yeah.
3, 8, or 16. The birth rate is 17 per 1,000. We want to know out of those, how many actually were just strictly for the check? What is it? 3, 8, or 16?
Well, I have five kids, Michael, so I'm going for the big number. I'm going for 8.
You're going for 8. That's a pretty big number.
Oh. Yeah. 16 is bigger than 8.
16 is even bigger.
Oh, yeah. Well, down in Healy, 8 was pretty big. We'll go with, we'll still go with 8.
You go with 8?
Sure. 8 it is.
You know, I'm sorry, Cheryl. It's 3 according to this study.
They
didn't factor you in, obviously.
They didn't.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry about it. Jim, that would be...
No right, one wrong.
Okay, don't worry about it. We'll,
sorry, Sean.
We'll come back. Don't worry
it's all
about
right.
it. Yeah, we'll come back. What's left?
People, places, school, science, odds and ends.
Sean?
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends. As a financial counselor, would you recommend having children for the check?
No.
Okay. What possible reason could there be for not putting the door back on the outhouse? Is the question. I don't understand this question. Either. What possible reason could there be for not putting the door back on the outhouse?
There's no multiple choice.
No, this is... I have no idea what this means.
You could get locked in.
Okay. Cheryl, can you think of any possible reason for not putting the door back on the outhouse?
Well, down in Healy, I was going for the smell. Ventilation. So, Sean and I just got to work this out. But I'm flexible, Sean. I'll go with you.
Yeah. Well, ventilation. Here it says for the Northern Lights, but but I think we'll accept ventilation.
We'll accept right? ventilation.
Yeah. Okay, ventilation is good. That's
excellent.
Don't fall off is a real question.
One right, one wrong.
What's left there, Jim?
People, places, school, or science.
Okay, Cheryl?
Well, having five kids, I have 3 college students, so I'll go with school.
Okay. Which president did Alaska kill? Was it McKinley, Harding, or Polk?
Oh, that's pretty simple down here in Healy. We're going with Harding.
Harding.
Let's do it.
Yes, Harding.
Woohoo!
Got some bad crap.
What's two left? Right, one wrong.
Okay, what's left there, Jim?
People, places, or science?
People, places, science. Sean?
People, places.
Two different
people.
Categories. People, yeah. Okay. People, comma, places. Do more Alaskans say they love Alaska, A, because, or B, in spite of, Jewel?
In spite of.
In spite of, Cheryl?
Well, Michael, you heard me. You know, I love music, because I love your band, so this is a tough one.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with my buddy Sean. We'll say in spite of.
In spite of is right.
Just wanted to say I'm available for weddings, christenings, and bar or bat mitzvahs. What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio, yours truly, Producer International. This is PRI, Public Radio International. Hi, I'm Michael Feldman as the Fairbanks Funny You Don't Look 30 edition of What Do You Know continues from Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. In this hour of What Do You Know, everyone has a great time as we meet genuine Alaskans who generally come from anywhere but Alaska.
Now, the man who sees lox where others see salmon, Michael Feldman.
You know, being a quiz show host is a serious responsibility, but it's never been this serious. But I got a letter from Jeff Apple Benowitz. Apple is with a small A, by the way, for some reason. And he said, in Alaska, every person is allowed to perform one marriage ceremony for another couple. This law was originally made because of the large distances between bush communities and judges and clergy. I know people have asked people to marry them on your show, but I had great hopes of you performing my wedding this summer. I'm at the end of a long recovery of regrowing a leg I shattered 3 years ago during a mishap with gravity. At some point between my third and fourth surgery, I told a friend if I ended up falling in love, then at least something productive would have come out of my accident. Well, sure, some things are out of our control, and I found myself madly in love with a young lass from Sweden. Being a short Jewish guy from New York, it's as if I had won the dating game lottery. Anna, besides being gorgeous, is also getting a PhD in environmental engineering. I'm currently getting a PhD in geological creative nonfiction. So you can see how having a wife with an employable degree is such a bonus. I've rambled enough here that I'm sure you can relate. Oh, gosh, what was the point? Oh, yeah, I don't have tickets for your show in Fairbanks because it sold out while I was getting surgery number 5. Is there some way you could find tickets for Anna, my 8-year-old daughter, Skye? And I just think if you allow us to attend, you'll get to marry us in a blue tarp chuppah. Would be a pretty good prop. Signed, Jeff Apple Benowitz. So we did it. We looked into this, actually, because we thought he was just another crank, and we get a lot of those, let's face it. But I got my here from the Superior Court for the State of Alaska, 4th Judicial District, the appointment of Michael Feldman as marriage commissioner for the marriage of Anna Lijadal and Jeffrey Benowitz. And we're marrying them right now on our stage, ladies and gentlemen. It will ensue as sort of a mock Jewish ceremony, semi-Jewish ceremony, because only one of them is. A little Swedish thrown in there on the side. This is here we have the chuppah. We've got the sister and the brother-in-law, and we've got Ian here, who's the best man, and we've got Dick Flaherty over there you've heard about earlier, and he got this out of a dumpster somewhere. I don't know where he found the chuppah in the middle of Alaska. And we have, where is Skye? She got the flowers. Skye is now going to do the flower girl part of the ceremony. This is Skye. She's gathering flowers on the stage. Very, very lovely. A beautiful dress she's wearing. Okay. And then do we have the couple here? Yes, we do. Anna Katrina Lijadal, Jeffrey Benowitz. Okay. You want to face them or away from them? You can face them? Okay. I've never done this before, you know, so this
Neither
is this.
Have we,
so. Okay. All right. And not with each other, at least. And that's a good thing. And then this is like a basic native.
Is it blanket toss? Yes, blanket toss?
Blanket toss.
Yes, this is a Jewish blanket toss.
Oh, the Jewish blanket toss. I thought I was referring to your headdress here. This is
That is Swedish native stuff, yeah.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, midsummer, sort of a little. A hedge thing here. We have a birch and flowers. Yeah.
Now, does your mother have any idea that this is going on right now? She's back in Sweden, right?
She didn't a week ago, but on Sunday she.
I called her when Anna was sleeping. It didn't go well.
Oh. Did you mention the Jewish part at all, or? Is it going to be an issue back in Sweden? Or?
No. No, as long as party and good stuff, you know, no problem at all. Yeah.
Okay. So, you didn't feel it went well?
No. No. She was very disappointed.
Disappointed? But she hasn't met you yet.
That was the problem. She wanted the opportunity to meet me first and then be disappointed.
Oh, okay. But this was your mother we're talking about?
I assume
you think
so.
She will like him once she meets?
Oh, yeah. I think she's going to be a little bit jealous.
So you think that she will want him for herself, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
How rare, you know, this is pretty rare probably in Sweden, something like this.
Yeah, definitely. Yep. Yeah.
Jeffrey Apple Benowitz in Sweden, this doesn't come along every day.
I think I will be the only Jew in Sweden, so.
There's probably one or two more. And then, there is, of course, from the Jewish point of view, she is the ideal.
This is a dream come true.
For all of us, really.
Oh, yes.
You are marrying our dreams.
We traveled 40 years through the desert for this.
Aren't they cute? And now, I did do some counseling with them, because I feel part of the responsibility is to do a little counseling beforehand. I want to check with her. you know, to make sure she really wanted to do this, not just a whim, to get tickets, you know. And I think I did some counseling with you.
Well, they keep asking me, are you really sure you want to do this? And are you sure you really have paperwork? And can I marry her? And I keep telling them, yes, we have paperwork. No, yeah. You can't marry her.
Yeah, that was me, I think, about can I marry her thing. I figure one Jew is as good as another, you know, and I'm a little taller, frankly.
Almost as tall as me.
Yeah. Almost, not quite. I don't know. Okay. But, and now you actually met because you're a climber.
Yes, that is my occupation, quote unquote. Yeah.
And a social climber as well, I might add, in this situation. And you took his climbing class?
Well, I really didn't take it. I just was it two times, and then I sort of, I went to check it out because I wanted to learn a bit of climbing, and then he asked me a lot of questions.
Yeah, I bet.
I started wondering what, because that was sort of the first class I went to here at the UIF, so a lot of questions.
He showed unusual interest in you as a...
Yeah, I started. I tried to answer as good as I could.
Apparently you answered pretty well. All right, so then basically you both are, you're sure about this, you're committed to this.
Yes.
Okay. Not just a goofy whim.
No. It's a yes. I mean...
Yes, and,
yes.
It is a goofy whim, but yes, we are serious about this. Yeah.
Well, a goofy whim brought them together, but may no man take them apart. I have a few things that, which I will read in English because my Hebrew really is almost as bad as my English. Gladden the beloved companions as you made glad your creation in the Garden of Eden from days of old. Blessed art thou, Lord, who gladdens groom and bride. Blessed art thou, Lord, our God, King of the universe, who created joy and gladness, groom and bride, rejoicing, glad song, pleasure, delight, love, brotherhood, peace, and companionship. Soon, Lord, our God, let there be heard in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem and Fairbanks the sound of joy and the sound of gladness, the voice of the groom and the voice of the bride, the sound of jubilation of grooms from the canopies and of youths from their feasts of song. Blessed art thou, Lord, who gladdens the groom and the bride. Now, we didn't have a chance, if you wanted to, you know, write your own vows or anything like that, which probably is something that we should have done, but is there anything you'd like to say in terms of your pledge?
I called Anna's best friend when she was out making the crowns, trying to get her to translate a few words for me in Swedish. And she's from Sweden, and she pulled out a Swedish dictionary. So I'm not sure if I got this correct, so I only got one word down, which is, I will dryska you. And I can translate that, yes. Which is, I will worship you.
I will worship you.
Yes.
I was going for, I will serve the Swede, but serve wasn't in the dictionary.
And anything you'd like to say to him?
Oh, this feels good.
Well, that was very Swedish, wasn't it? If it feels good, do it, huh? Well, do you have the ring? That's what we need, I guess. Yes, the ring bearer is here now? Okay. I guess now this should be given to the probably the best man, but he's holding the chuppah.
He's talented. He's a climber also.
He's your ice cave partner. Right?
Yes.
Whatever that means. Okay.
What happens in the snow cave stays in the snow cave.
You probably can't open that one-handed, can you? Okay. Get the ring out of here. Let me just take it out of there. They're both rings. Okay. How did you get these so quick? When I talked to you last night, you had no ring.
Me and Ian went around today. I have a friend, Joe Peterson, who's making us rings, but it's going to take a while. So I went to four or five different jewelry stores today telling them I wanted a faux wedding ring, and they kept showing me rings for $400-$800. And I'm like, it's just for today. And finally...
You married a Jewish guy, this is what you get. He wants a faux wedding ring just for today.
Hers actually was my grandma's, so hers is real.
Okay, and yours is faux?
And mine is faux.
Okay, well, that's okay. So one of you is actually getting married, one of you isn't, apparently. you know what, I'll let
you
do?
The one with diamonds is the real one.
Okay, I will let you take the ring that is for her, and I will let you say whatever you want to say in placing that ring upon her finger.
Which hand?
I think it is there.
I've done this once before. with the same woman. It's the same ring. It was the engagement ring. And she only wanted one ring. Oh my.
All you want to say is, oh my.
Thank you.
And now that we're exchanging rings here, so I think if you put this faux ring upon the...
Yeah. It looks a bit like a Viking ring.
Celtic.
Celtic. Oh. Yes.
The long Jewish Celtic connection.
Do you want it on that one? Thank you, Jeff. Ooh, here we go. Have you been a little tight here? No. Ooh. Thank you, Jeff.
Is there anything that you want to say to him in terms of, besides this is fun? This is.
Jag älskar dig.
Okay, that's good. I like that. Now, I guess, by the power invested in me by the state of Alaska for their own reasons, I pronounce you man and wife. You may kiss the bride. Not so much. Not so much. Stop already. Oy vey, here with the kissing. With the so much of kissing. Now go ahead, kiss her some more. What the heck? This is pretty good. Tradition is the breaking of the glass, and so Jeff is going to do that. Oh, he broke the glass! It's official! They're married! Man and wife! Congratulations! Congratulations! The Benowitzes, ladies and gentlemen! It was quick, you know? That was good. All right.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, that was my only one, so I had to try to do the best shot I can on that. Jeff Apple Benowitz and Anna Leija Dahl. Now, are you keeping your name, Anna? Are you going to use Benowitz?
We're going to combine them.
Oh, no. You're going to combine Benowitz and Leija Dahl?
The problem is that I can't pronounce her last name.
Yeah.
Okay. I have an unpronounceable last name that I can't pronounce either.
So it's going to be Benowitz, Leija Dahl?
Or Lil at all.
You really can't say it, can you?
No,
we were also thinking about combining them like Bendahal or Liljewitz.
Yeah.
So we have different options there.
I like Bendahal. That sounds like, you know, something you take before a flight. Plane flight.
That would be Ben of the Valley.
Yeah. By the way, we should mention that we have some gifts for you. In honor of this occasion. So what do we have for them, Jim?
We do have tickets to tour the Large Animal Research Station on Yankovic Road from the Institute of Arctic Biology. We've got some kids' T-shirts, in case that comes along, from the Institute of Arctic Biology, a case of bottled beer from the Silver Gouch Brewing and Bottling Company, and two fanny packs of Apocalypse Design and that lovely Dick Flaherty. Thank you very much.
That's it. Ah, okay. There you go. The Benadryls, ladies and gentlemen. Go out and enjoy your honeymoon now. Obviously, you want to get to it. Or he does, anyhow. I don't know. Oh, that's very sweet. It's very sweet in a very odd way. But
yes, it is.
Yeah. Robin Dale Ford has joined us, ladies and gentlemen. Playing under very unusual circumstances, following a radio wedding. Is this the first radio wedding that you followed?
What?
Radio? The radio wedding. First time you've done a radio wedding.
First wedding. Yeah, this is the first wedding I've ever followed.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And is this the new CD, Ain't That Skippin' and Flyin'?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's on Planet Records, produced by Pat Fitzgerald, who's with us here as well, and Robin.
my favorite songwriter.
Thank you for joining us here. Really, thank you for having us here. I feel
this is surreal. You know,
it is surreal.
I feel like I'm waking up on Saturday morning.
Yeah. You guys want to get married?
Do I have my clothes on?
Yeah. I feel like marrying some more. You know.
Good.
What's this tune going to be?
This is a tune for the children, for all the children everywhere. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Robin Dale Ford and Pat Fitzgerald. Thank you, guys. Ain't That Skippin' and Flyin' is a new CD. It's on Planet Records. And check it out. It's great. She has such a lovely voice. Robin Dale Ford. Now, here's a man who... I think the original idea was to try to hit a golf ball the entire length of the Alaska pipeline. But that didn't work out, so he took his dog and walked the entire length of it and wrote about it. It's a great book, actually, called Walking My Dog, Jane. Would you welcome, please, Ned Rozelle. So you're an Air Force guy, is that right?
I was in the Air Force for 4 years.
Yeah. Did decide not to make a career of it?
Yep.
Was there a turning point in that?
Too much other stuff to do.
Too much other stuff to do. Where'd you do your training?
I was in Biloxi, Mississippi, and then I came up here to Eielson Air Force Base. That's what got me to Alaska first.
Yeah, that was your intro to Alaska. And did you stay after that, or did you come back later?
I came back later.
Mm-hmm. What brought you back?
There was something about Fairbanks I really liked. I remember a few times I would come into town. I was 18, 19 years old then. I'd come into town on the bus, cost $1 to come in, and I'd just see people that kind of looked like I wanted to be. They were people who they didn't take showers every day, smelled like wood smoke, had long hair. Just had, didn't seem like America out here.
Yeah. And were you right? Has that held up over the years?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Now, of course, your hair is not exactly shoulder length at this point.
Nope, I cut it.
Yeah. Did it get pretty long at one point?
Yeah, it did. I looked like a member of the Eagles at one point.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Which one, the lead singer?
Joe Walsh.
Joe Walsh. Oh, that's not a bad look. That's a pretty good look. This is such a good idea, this book, because it's not just the journey itself. It's what you learn along the way and what you contribute by your knowledge, your background, and all the places that you visited as you went along the pipeline.
Yeah, I wanted to do a really long walk across Alaska, and the pipeline pad, which is gravel road that parallels the pipeline, seemed like a good way to do it in one summer.
Yeah. Did you have other walks that you thought about? The Wall of China, for example? Or
I've thought of other ones since then, like maybe the Alaska border. That'd be a lot harder, though.
Yeah. You'd get your feet wet on that one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you'd go up over some pretty pointy mountains, too.
Yeah. How many streams do you have to cross going from Valdez all the way up to the...
The engineers who put in the pipeline counted 800. That's a pretty exact number, but I never counted them. Seemed like about that many.
Yeah. Were they all fordable?
Some were, some weren't. Some have bridges across them, and some I just scratched my head when I came to them. Like the Salcha River is a big river here in interior Alaska. The pipeline they put it in must have been wintertime because the pipeline just disappears underneath it, and you had this big river to cross. I got a boat ride across that.
Was this like a bureaucratic nightmare as far as arranging to do this? Because there's a lot of these huge corporations involved, and you probably don't want to. They don't probably want people doing this, right? For some reason or another.
No. It was really hard to get permission. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, it took me several months to do it, and I did this hike years before 9/11, so I think now it might be impossible.
Yeah. Did you have to get it from individual landowners as well? I read that at one point there, they asked you to get like...
The pipeline company wanted me to, but like just through the little town in North Pole, which is south of here, there was like 200 landowners, so I said, I don't have time for that. So so there I just walked the Richardson Highway where it parallels the pipeline there and hooked up back north of Fairbanks.
Mm-hmm. Your actual mileage in doing this, did you figure out how many miles you actually traveled walking?
I just went by the numbers on the pipe. It said 800.
Okay. I think that was accurate. It's and Alaskans, I'm assuming... have maybe a love-hate relationship with the pipeline. Is that true, fair to say?
Yeah, that's fair to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people don't like it being here. Probably more like it being here because it allows more people to be here because it makes us money. And but yeah, a lot of people, especially when it went in, didn't like it at all. Mm-hmm.
And as you went along it, you encountered people with various opinions about it that you spoke to. I know some people were
huge enthusiasts.
Yeah,
exactly. Some people said Alaska would go to hell in a handcart without it and the tax money that comes along with it. And other people said it was the end of Alaska for me when the pipeline went in because, you know, I knew it before. And it's just, it changed after the pipeline. Mm-hmm. I'm a post-pipeline guy. I've been in Alaska since your show's been on the air since 1986. So ever since I've been here, the pipeline's been part of my landscape. So I'm sort of used to it.
Yeah, part of your psychological landscape as well as the actual one. And your dog. How's your dog?
My dog is no longer with us.
Oh,
she was 10 when we did the hike, and she died at 13.
Oh. She's a lab or
chocolate lab.
Chocolate lab. Yeah.
It was a good summer.
I've got a yellow lab. I have a yellow lab, but I can't imagine putting a pack on him. Was that a hard trick to learn for a 10-year-old dog?
Jane didn't like it too much. I didn't keep it that heavy. The heaviest it ever was 7 pounds when it was full of food. But she had it every day, and I had mine every day, and we clunked along.
Mm-hmm. Your pack was fairly heavy, I would imagine.
Yeah, it was probably about 60, which, looking back, that's a pretty heavy pack.
Yeah, and this shotgun you were carrying, was that absolutely necessary?
I wouldn't carry it today.
No?
But the fear of bears is pretty deep-seated
in
us humans.
You just have to stay motionless. Not that easy to do when you're being charged by a bear, really. Did you ever have to use it? You did use it a couple times, I guess.
I just used it for fun a couple times. I figured if I'm going to carry it that far, I'm going to shoot it a couple times.
Yeah. You didn't shoot at the pipeline, I presume.
No.
Just for a joke.
A tempting target, but I didn't point it that way.
The engineering feat of the pipeline is a rather remarkable one. Almost similar to the Alaska Highway, when you think about what they went through during the war building the highway. But this is rather an amazing engineering feat. And did you actually meet some of the people who worked on the pipeline as you went along it?
Yeah, as I wrote the book and called people up afterwards, like there was a section of pipe around Delta Junction where a lot of people wrote their names with sort of this stick that welders use to write on pipe. And a couple guys' names endured for the 20 years from when they built the pipe to when I hiked it. So I called a few of those guys up and asked them about their experiences. And one guy was a pipe welder. And he was talking about all the bizarre rules that the pipeline company set out. Like they said they had to drink 68 cans of pop a day to keep hydrated. And I said, 6 to 8? And he said, no, 68. There were a lot of...
You think you remember that correctly, or has it been a few years now? And he sure was cans of pop that he was drinking. How many people worked on the pipeline? Do we know?
Oh, thousands. Yeah. Thousands. And just like Terrence was talking about, the big things that brought people to Alaska, World War II is a big one, and the pipeline was sure a big one, too. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are here today because of the pipeline, maybe because they came and stayed, or... they just came some reason related to the pipeline.
Yeah. And it's funny, when I flew in from Seattle, I was sitting next to a woman who worked on the pipeline, actually. She's and now she does things for the Army building bases, you know, for them, not building the bases, but building the headquarters, building the places for the people live in on bases, whatever they call those. Barracks, I guess they would
barracks
be called in the old
that's
days.
It.
But she's worked on it, and because you had one section there about the thin walls and the way these people they're working basically like 24 hours a day in some cases on the pipeline, and under really intense living conditions where you could hear everything that was going on around you. And
And there's these there were these pipeline camps. There were like 12 of them along the way, and there were little cities that sprang up all of a sudden. and they had movie theaters and big chow halls that bears would wait for the cars to back up. They would know that this car has food in it, so they'd wait. And, you know, thousands of people out in the wilderness in these little pockets. And now the camps are pulled up, and some of them are hard to find nowadays. And there's a lot less people out there now than there was then.
Mm-hmm. And your own experience now in doing the walk, what sorts of things did you run into? Because I know they told you in some places people are not going to appreciate your being there.
Yeah, I heard from some pipeline security people before I left that certain areas you don't want to walk around. One of them was around Kenny Lake. He said people around there will pull a gun on you, so don't walk around there. So I got to that area, and it did look a little shady. Just a lot of houses right near the pipeline and a lot of stuff. It looked like the rest of Alaska, but they were right on the pipeline. So I thought, well, if they don't want me walking through there with my shotgun and stuff, I'll walk around. So I did. I walked around on the highway down there and avoided some of those people. But I never really had a problem with people. In fact, people were great. I saw a lot more people than I thought I was going to. I thought it would be more of a solitary journey. It was 120 days long, and I probably saw people on 118 of them.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, along the way, you sort of became a celebrity as well, because people were reading, you were filing stories for the newspaper.
Yeah, because I'm a science writer. I work here at the Geophysical Institute at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, mm-hmm. and I write weekly newspaper columns about science. And part of the gig was, when I went, I had a little computer, a palm-top computer, and that's part of why my pack was so darn heavy. I would write columns along the way. And I wrote them also for the local newspaper, the one Dermot works for, the Daily News Miner. And they would put it on the front page. Every Sunday, I'd send them something, you know. And they'd have a little map, track Ned and Jane, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But, of course, Jane was the star. People didn't remember my name. In fact, I... people would sometimes leave bags of food taped to stuff for us. You know, they knew we would pass. And one of them said, for Jane and what's his name?
Did you encounter any hostile receptions of the kind you're warned about? Or people ever pull weapons on you? Or
no. Yeah. No, maybe because I had the shotgun first.
They yeah. See a guy walking with a stainless steel shotgun, they tend to respect that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why stainless steel, by the way?
So it won't rust.
I guess that makes sense. Okay. Why aren't they all stainless steel when you think about
Good question.
Yeah. Still got the gun?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, okay. And tell us more about what you found along the way in some of these places, some of these communities you went through.
Well, let's see. Talked about me maybe hitting a golf ball the whole way. I headed to a town called Copper Center. It's about 100 miles from Valdez. I was about 100 miles into my 800-mile summer. And I had met this guy. Well, I was walking before on the road, and he was a bartender at a bar I stopped at just as I was walking up the road. And he said, stop at my little homestead when you get up there. We'll play some golf. So I think he's off his rocker, you know. But it was that day I avoided all the crazy people and walked a long day, a 16-mile day. And I said, hey, I'm near this part of the highway where he said he lives. So I went into another bar and gave him a call, and he said, yeah, I'm home. Come on over. So I went over to his house and camped on his lawn. And then the next morning, he pulled out his golf clubs. And he's got a 9-hole golf course in his boreal forest muskeg backyard. So we played 9 holes. It was a blast.
Have you kept up the friendship since then?
Yeah, I see him every once in a while. Yeah.
Oh, you do? Oh, that's cool. And a lot of people just wanted to walk along with you, too, for parts of the route, didn't they? Did you let them do that? Or is that
yeah. I walked about half alone. I walked about half with other people. Yeah, buddies hike with me, and they'd bring me food and water and stuff, and bring Jane dog food. And so, yeah, about half solo and half with people.
Yeah. And this was during the summer, basically, but it still must have been pretty difficult as you went north, where there were some really difficult areas
yeah.
to traverse.
I started in the south because to start in the north of Alaska in May, you couldn't really do it because it'd be all snow then and 20 below still at night. So I started in the south in Valdez, and it was still pretty cold there for the first month. And then you go over the Chugach Range, and it gets a little warmer, and then you get over the Alaska Range, and then you're here in the interior continental climate. It's really warm here, a lot of mosquitoes. And then you walk out in the interior, and you get way up to the Brooks Range. It's our farthest north mountain range, and you climb over that. Then it gets cold. Then it gets winter again. That was in August, and it snowed on us a couple times in August. It's a beautiful place up there, but very, very threatening if you're on foot.
Mm-hmm. Were you killed? You didn't feel life-threatened at any point, or you were, or you're dying?
No, yeah. It was pretty mellow.
Yeah. This walk, had you ever walked? You probably hadn't walked 800 miles before, but are you a walker by nature? Or?
No, I like to hike, but This was, it was 800 miles divided by 120 days, whatever that is. I average about 6 miles a day, I guess. So it wasn't that bad. Mm-hmm. I would just walk along, stop. I'd have to stop at every creek because I'd get water from them, drinking water. Mm-hmm. I'd stop, pump my water, take my pack off my dog, and hang out, and get up, go again. And I'd only end up going, about 6 miles a day. So that's pretty moderate, you know.
Yeah. How'd you come back?
I hitchhiked.
You did?
Yeah, I really wanted to. These truck stops, one's at Coldfoot and one's at Hilltop, just north of Fairbanks. And they got these truckers' table. And you see the truckers there, and they all got their big cups. And, you know, they all got their special spots at the table. I said, man, I'd love to sit there someday. So I wanted to catch a ride back with a trucker and maybe sit at that table.
Yeah.
But it wasn't to be. The truckers don't pick people up, so I was waiting there a long time. And finally, this tourist picked me up from Indiana, and he gave me a ride back.
Really?
Yeah.
A trucker will not pick a person up? Is that just a corporate policy or company policy? Or something?
That's, I've been picked up by truckers before, but sometimes they're in a hurry. They see you there all wet in your rain gear.
Yeah, with your dog.
Yeah, with my dog, so there's no room.
No. That's what they say, but they could have stopped.
Maybe.
I'm disappointed in those guys.
That's what I was thinking.
Possible book, The Trucking Pipeline.
Yeah, a lot of guys do that every single day. They're doing it right now.
Yeah. the things I liked about it was when you actually went back and took those names off the pipe and called those guys and talked to them and got their stories, and that was very interesting. And once again, so what we were talking about earlier, it sort of speaks to the Alaska experience and the character of people and who come here and people who stay and the effect it has on people. What did you learn about that as you went along this route? It must have been quite a learning experience.
Well, I kind of learned that everybody's kind of a lot like me, who's a lot like everybody else, you know.
Yeah.
Just sort of everybody, even if it's somebody up north who's doing some mining up north of Wiseman or whatever. And I'm not a miner. I'll probably never be a miner. And it's not a lifestyle I know that I'd like. But, they like some of the same stuff I like, you know. They like being out there all day, having no boss, moving the dirt, being in a beautiful place, seeing the animals, being somewhat free, you know. That seemed to be a theme with all the people I met in the book. And, it seemed like everybody was here for a reason.
Well, it's a really an enjoyable book. Walking My Dog Jane from Valdez to Prudhoe Bay along the Trans-Alaska Pipeline. And I recommend you pick this up, and it's really a good one. Is there another project in mind? We mentioned other walking projects. Is there anything else along these lines? Or?
Nothing along those lines. I do a lot shorter trips now, and my biggest adventure now is my wife over there. Can you stand up, Kristen? If you could see her silhouette, you know what I'm talking about.
I gotcha. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Ned, nice to talk to you. Nice to meet you. Pleasure.
Thank you.
Ned Rosell, ladies and gentlemen, walking my dog, Jane. How about a little band number, you guys?
Okay. Jim, you got to read anything there? Do you want to jump in real quick with that, or no?
I'll do it after the
okay.
musical number.
Okay.
Welcome back to the Fairbanks edition of Funny You Don't Look 30, as we return now to the Golden Heart City of Fairbanks, Alaska.
Of the What Do You Know quiz. We've got to drag someone out of the audience here forcibly if we have to, bring them up on stage. But first, I just want to, Bill Bregoff, Fairbanks, retired dentist. What is bratwurst? And why do people from Wisconsin talk through their hoses? Noses. Okay. Bratwurst, I can explain.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you have bratwurst in the last? You went to the bathroom?
Yes.
Okay, well, forget about it. I don't have time for that. Have you been to Skinny Dick's Halfway Inn yet? Yes, I have been. I know what I want to see. There is someone here who claims he has a Michael Feldman tattoo, and I can't leave town without seeing that, obviously. I can't believe it's true. It's Eric Stevens, who's a meteorologist here. Let me ask where it is first. Look, he's got the Not Much 20 t-shirt there, our anniversary t-shirt, and he's got, Where would this tattoo be?
This is radio, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll show ya. Oh.
There it is!
Yeah.
Okay. I really don't have a Michael Feldman.
You know what? I'm very relieved. Thank you very much for not...
My first tattoo will be a Michael Feldman.
Thanks, Eric. Nice to meet you, too. Okay, well, that was a pretty close call, wasn't it? Or maybe not. All right, we're going to play another round of the quiz now. You didn't get a chance the first time. You won't get a chance this time, probably, but one of you will. Who is that going to be? That one person. We should, in fairness, we need a female. Yeah? Yeah? Okay, you feel you're ready for this? You are?
Robin.
Robin, where are you from? Here?
Fairbanks, yeah.
What do you do in life, Robin?
I work at DNR, the Department of Natural Resources, and I work at the Rasmussen Library right next door.
You're overly committed.
I guess so.
Robin, give me one good reason why you should play this quiz.
Because I've never listened to your entire show before.
Oh, this is the farthest you've ever gotten then. Okay, well, that's good, Robin. Let's see if we can get you through the rest of this. She has to listen. She's on it. Come on down, Robin. Be careful on these. They're designed to kill you. Okay, have a seat there if you would. Right here. Robin, you a married person, single person?
Single.
Are you? You know, if we could get somebody, I could marry you, because I think the license is still good. You know, it'd be kind of a rush job here, but there'd be time to do it. And, okay, so things besides work? It seems like you're working 24 hours a day, basically.
Right now, I do mostly work, but I have an active hobby life. I have a dog.
Okay.
In Alaska, that qualifies as a good social life.
Okay. Pretty much my social life, too, as I think about it, so that's not unusual. And do you recreate?
Yeah, I recreate.
Yeah. How do you recreate?
I do different things at different times. Cross-country ski a little bit in the winter. I'm really bad. It's really like a sport for like people like Jeff's wife, you know, the tall, skinny Nordic types.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do the best I can.
Okay. Anything else besides? What about snow machining?
No, I'm not really into motorized sports.
Huh.
I have sort of a rule. I like to...
What's your rule?
I like to do something where I don't have to carry my own stuff, but doesn't require a motor.
Oh.
So like I like horseback riding, skiing, canoeing, kayaking. That's kind of my rule.
Not motorized. What about planes? You don't believe in planes? You just gliders or what? You know, so some things need motors.
Well,
let's
you fly to get somewhere, I guess. Yeah. But.
Okay. All right. Are you from here originally, Robin? Where are you from?
No, I'm originally from Holliston, Massachusetts.
Oh, you are. And what? Wow, a contingent.
I saw some signs, actually.
You have a contingent here. Yeah.
Yeah, when I came in.
What brought you to Alaska?
I came here to go to college.
Yeah, okay.
I got my degree in wildlife management and my master's degree in natural resource management here.
Wow, that's fantastic. Okay, well, Robin, someone out there plays along with you. That's how this works. And how do we do this again, Jim?
Someone grabs the telephone and dials first, 800-474-5822, and answers the qualifying question.
Explain what this means, making a big score at the transfer station. Let's go to the phones right now. Carrie, do you know what making a big score at the transfer station means?
I sure do.
Ah, what does it mean?
It means you found some really good stuff to pick up and take home with you.
So, in the dumpster?
Well, no, usually beside the dumpster.
Beside the dumpster. Okay, so it's nearly dumpster diving. But not, that's right.
On the platform.
On the platform. Yeah. At the transfer station. All right, Carrie, you're on. You're in Seattle, is that right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. You spend a lot of time up in Alaska?
Born and raised, actually, and I live in Seattle now.
Oh, you do. Okay, where were you born?
I was born in Fairbanks.
In Fairbanks.
My mom and dad are in the audience. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad.
Oh, your mom and dad are here. Where's mom and dad? They're not admitting it if they are. There they are. Okay, we identified them. It's Carrie. She doesn't call. They'd forgotten your voice. You really, you know, you should call more often. Carrie, this is Robin. She's your partner in crime here.
Oh, fun.
Hi.
Hello.
All right, the two of you bonded sufficiently, we'll go on then.
I think so.
You are a team, you are a brain trust, and here are the categories that we have.
Those categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
Okay. Carrie, we'll let you pick the first one. What would you like?
Let's go with odds and ends.
Odds and ends, a good place to start, I guess. Forgetting why, I guess. How many times did the moose cross the road in January? Now, this is a moose who was wired. Because I just wanted to see how many times the thing actually would cross a road. This is in January. Was it a dozen times, 56, or 85 times?
Well, I think it just walked right down the center of the road.
I don't know how they'd count that, actually.
85.
What was the answers again?
A dozen, 56, 85. Eight says 85.
85. It was
85
really high.
Yeah, 85 is right. Wow.
Yay!
I'm surprised.
One right, no wrong.
Yeah, a moose always thinks something's better on the other side of the road. It's very much like us when you think about it. What's left there, Jim?
Current events, people, places, school, or science.
Okay.
I'm always going to pick science.
Science is your thing. All right, speaking of climate change, in case you were, the Arctic Ocean could have passed for the Caribbean only 50, 75, or 100 million years ago.
I'm going to defer to you, Robin. I have no idea.
You sure you know about a moose crossing the road?
I do.
I don't know, 100 million years ago?
50, 75, or 100. You say 100 million?
100, that's my guess. I don't know.
Carrie, run
away. Well, we'll go with that.
50. Only 50, 50 million,
million
years ago.
It seemed like 100 million.
Yeah, it seems like 100 million. But it was only 50.
Because the winters were so long.
The water was 74 degrees year-round, they discovered. So at that point. So
one right, no wrong.
Okay.
I mean, one right, one wrong.
Yeah. Well, I thought that's what you said. Maybe I wasn't listening. What's left then, Jim?
Current events, people, places, or school.
Okay. Gary?
Current events?
Current events, right out of the news, maybe not. Who described environmentalists as waffle-stomping, Harvard-graduating intellectual idiots that don't understand they're leading this country into environmental disaster? Who might have said that?
I'm not sure I can answer that question and continue to work with DNR.
Okay, well, she defers to you, Carrie. And, you know,
oh,
who,
my goodness.
What individual, well-known individual? In politics, I'll tell you that much.
Well, would it be a big GW?
Possibly a congressman.
I'll probably say congressman.
Hmm. Possibly. Well-known views on environmentalists.
You know, I have no idea. I better turn the TV on more often, huh?
Pardon me?
Ted Stevens?
Congressman.
Congressman. Don Young.
Possibly not a senator. Possibly. So you're thinking Don Young. Can you say that and still maintain your position?
Don Young?
Yeah. Carrie, you go along with that?
Sure.
Yes, it's Don Young. It's so quotable. Don Young also told a reporter, "You can kiss my ear." And one time said, "Perseverance will beat out intelligence every time." So there you go. Speaks for himself. Annette.
Two right, one wrong.
Okay. That's very good.
We're not doing very good.
What's left?
People, places, school.
People, places, school.
School.
School. Okay.
School.
Things you should have learned in school. In Alaska, you have to pull over if you are impeding more than 3, 4, or 5 vehicles. Hi, how you doing? Good to see you.
They're all saying 5. I think it should be 3, but you know.
I think it's 1 the way they drive, actually. You impede 1 vehicle, you don't see them again.
That's
in your lifetime.
I'm in favor of the mobile home lane, but you know. Yeah, it's really coming to being yet.
So what are you leaning towards here?
5.
5? 5 is right. 5 vehicles. It's not a real-life thing, because they won't stand for it that long. And, Jim, what do they want?
Well, Carrie, you'll celebrate your quiz victory with a case of beer from the Silver Gulch Brewing and Bottling Company, makers of Fairbanks Lager and Pickaxe Porter, among other fine brews. You can enjoy that with a 3-pack of Captain Jim's Smoked Salmon from Riverboat Discovery. Sweeten up the basket of pure Alaskan birch syrups and delicious birch jelly from the Alaska Birch Syrup Company. Head out on the open road with a canvas bag of T-shirts from all 5 Harley-Davidson stores in Fairbanks, Denali Park, Ketchikan, Juneau, and Skagway, from Fairbanks Harley-Davidson farthest north outpost. And Robin, when it gets cold at the North Pole, you'll heat things up with a wooden crate of hot sauces, including Frosty's Fire Sauce, Red Hot Rudolph, Screaming Santa, 2 tasty barbecue sauces from Santa's Hot Pepper Workshop. Cool off with some ice cream from Hot Licks Homemade Ice Cream made here in Fairbanks. Take in musical culture with season tickets to the Fairbanks Light Opera Theater, and get ready for next winter with a cozy hat and double fleece mitts packed inside a handsome shoulder bag from Apocalypse Design Incorporated. Congratulations to both of you.
Thanks, Robin. Thank you, Fairbanks, and thank you for joining me for this special edition of What Do You Know? That was John Tooling on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and the funky drummer Clyde Stubblefield on drums, and of course, my good buddy on the golden tones, Jim Packard. What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio, and I'm the producer, International. Adam Friedrich is our producer with help from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Diana Cook, Kelly Osborne, and Megan Hannes. Our technical director is Tom Blaine with help from Brad Kohlberg and Aubrey Ralph. This is PRI, Public Radio International.
PRI, Public Radio International.